Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We crossed to the States where we were joined by a prof, Eric Naumann. It's a serious story, actually. He's been doing research into footballs and feels a little bit of pressure out of every football could help with head injuries and lots more besides.
Yeah, he was a good boffin because he explained it to the common man,
i.e. He did. It was in layman's terms. Mm. Adam Jamili joined us, Team GB sprinter. He was on good form, telling us how he's building up for the Olympics, talked a bit of football. And we had a birthday spread, another thrilling birthday
spread.
Yeah,
we can't give it away, but wow.
We can't, but yeah, it was a corker. So it's all that. We had a chat about various things. You got involved. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Yeah, well, you mentioned there Robbie Brady, didn't you? I mean, because you...
Poor lad.
Yeah, you really sold me Burnley Fulham. You sort of whipped me up into a frenzy. That's why I was still so excited when I came on the microphone today. Mm. And I think the first half, I don't think anything happened. No. I was watching it, you know, and I take little notes as well, you know, because I'm thinking about the show. And I had written nothing down. Mm. And I thought, I don't think anything happened at all. And
it was interesting, wasn't it? Shots, but not much.
Oh, there was that volley that... Because Sky said, you know, this stunning volley would have gone in if it hadn't gone straight at the keeper. And you're like, well, okay, yeah, he hit it well, didn't he? But it wasn't...
Ariola just had to jump slightly,
exactly,
didn't he, really?
I mean, it was quite extraordinary to have so little happen with so many human beings involved, all sort of putting in quite a lot of effort in terms of work put in to what we all got out of it. And I thought it was quite interesting that it was... You know, yesterday afternoon we heard that, and rightly so, all the games will be on TV while they can't have fans in stadiums. That was the first 45 minutes they served us, just to remind us, this is what you're going to get. Every single second of this will be live on television. I suppose the 5 minutes after halftime was slightly better, but it was a bit of a shower, that game.
And we saw a great example of how sometimes a bad first touch can be better than a good first touch.
Yeah, brilliant.
Ashley Barnes, because... The Ariola is expecting a good first. You know, he's played for PSG and all that. He's expecting a good first touch. It's a lovely ball in by Rodriguez, wasn't it? And it's such a bad first touch. He sends him for a cup of tea, doesn't he, Ariola? And he's gone. And that allows Ashley Barnes just to sweep in because the keeper's wrong-footed. He's expecting better.
Yeah.
So well done, Ashley.
Exactly.
You fooled everybody.
If anything, he respected Ashley Barnes too much.
Yeah, he did.
Didn't he, in that moment?
I think he did.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Thought he was in training with Mbappe and Neymar again.
I mean, is there anything more we can say about Manchester City? I'm not sure there is. I thought Everton played quite well last night. I thought they were quite good. I thought they did the right things. They got back into the game. They showed a bit of intent. But there's just something. I mean, City are ruthless and merciless, and that Mahrez finish was... They got so many good players as well. Yeah. You just sort of forget about... I forget about Riyad Mahrez. He's quite a good player.
And De Bruyne coming on as well. Tremendous.
Yeah.
Yes, to cheer everybody
as a
up.
Sign. I did notice that... obviously the Amazon coverage had Ali McCoist, which is, we love Ali McCoist, friendly, you know, not just saying that as a company man. I think he's pretty much top of the tree in terms of co-commentators that I like, because he appears to be happy to be there for a start. He's like, he's pleased to have got the call, and he's there and he's enjoying the game of football. So when there's a wonderful you know, Mahrez brought a ball out of the sky, and you can just hear Ali going. But on the European coverage on BT, you can hear them fizzing the ball about. They've got microphones nearer the ball, and you couldn't hear... Like, Pickford strikes a ball beautifully, but you couldn't really hear him ping that ball. But on the Champions League coverage, you can really hear them zipping it about. And you can hear it when Haaland
Oh, yeah.
What a player.
That was the old 1-2 with Sancho was good, wasn't it? Very, very, you know, bit of a shock, wasn't it? And I wasn't having the penalty on Cristiano Ronaldo. He was on his way down. He was railing, wasn't it, at the end? He was going mad at the ref, but, you know, he was on his way down. He was looking for it, and never a pen for me, John.
No. I've seen him given, though, Clive. But, yeah. Brian, at the end of the day, Jeff, I think you're right. It wasn't a penalty. I've done some research on RZ Pellet's whack for you.
Okay, good.
Do you want to know about them?
Go on then, yeah.
RZ Pellets, they sponsor Wolfsburger. That's why they're called RZ Pellets. According to their website in 2014, RZ Pellets is something of a pioneer in the Austrian pellet industry.
Oh, wow.
They're celebrating a decade of pellet production. The company has grown to become the largest producer in Austria.
Wow.
Accounting for almost one third of the national output of pellets.
What kind of pellets are they? Are they for a sort of
I don't know if
air gun or
you're not the first person to ask me that question today. I still don't have that details. I can tell you. That's not all though. RZ Pellets GmbH has wood processing operations, runs 10 heat plants in Austria, some with power generation. The company has 4 pellet production sites strategically located around Austria.
Oh, this is great news.
A total combined annual capacity in the region of 250,000 to 280,000 pellets.
It's not a factory team, is it? It's not like Hans, who did nights, has to turn out against Tottenham tonight.
No, I don't think. No, they have on the production line. They have up to 5 people on the line at any one point the pellet factory. But I don't think any. I don't know what a professional pellet man is. A pelleteer.
Peloton. The Peloton.
They do have the Peloton.
So I'm really looking forward to that. We'll find out about all of the sides playing the British clubs in the Europa League from Lars Siverton a little bit later on. Robbie Brady, in case you didn't see the game, came on as a sub, didn't have the greatest cameo, did he? 25 minutes, should have cleared one off the line, sort of. He just sort of caught the top of it, didn't he? Would have been caught behind normally.
He was leaning back.
Top of the bat.
Leaning back.
Should have scored maybe with a chance. Got booked, could have been sent off, and then was off the field after 25 minutes. Sean Dyche says he's got a bit of an Achilles problem, but I wonder if he's just trying to spare him the indignity.
As soon as he came on sort of smiling. He was happy to be on. Mm. And the first thing he did was just take the ball out of play.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of didn't carry. He's a good player. Obviously, everyone has a bad 25 minutes.
Of course they do.
He didn't look that upset to be taken off either. He was sort of quite nonplussed by the whole thing. Perhaps he thought, this game, I don't want to be... Watching this game is bad enough. I don't want to be playing in it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You're telling us about those Robbie Brady matches you had with 25-minute cameo when it all went wrong for Robbie last night for Burnley. This is from Shaftesbury Owen. He says, came drunk late to a Saturday league game, came on 2-1 down at 32 minutes, took myself off at 37 minutes after scoring a hat-trick. That's quite impressive, isn't it? He's just showing off now.
Yeah, we don't want that. AJ says, standard under 13 games kicked off. The recommended tactic, of course, many Premier League players, teams doing it. Lay it back to the centre mid. Hoof it up the park. Opposition player closed me down. Broke 4 metatarsals with my first kick. 7 seconds I was on the pitch for, says AJ.
That's fantastic, yeah. They're the ones we want, not the showing off.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Football, of course, is hopefully doing everything it can to minimise the risk of head injuries. The possibilities of dementia in later life and indeed brain injuries in later life. We've seen many high-profile cases that we all know about, sadly, and this is a situation that's ongoing. And it's not surprising that the boffins have turned their hand to try and find answers to stop this happening. Now, that's certainly true of Purdue University in Indiana, who think they may have something for us, which is, on the face of it, slightly softer balls, slightly less pressure in the balls, which does throw up a number of questions, which we'll now put to Eric Nowen, who's the Professor of Mechanical Engineering at Purdue. Good afternoon, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
Well, good, thank you. Yeah, thanks for joining us. I would imagine that the first question people ask is that no one wants to play with a soft ball, but I think it's fair to say that's not what you're saying, is it?
No, just a little pressure, release a little bit of the pressure back down to, if you look at the ball, what the manufacturer says. There's a discrepancy between what FIFA allows for our teams, the NCAA, and what the manufacturers put on the actual ball. So you can max out the manufacturer's ball pressure and you'll be still way below what FIFA and the NCAA recommend.
Because that's the key, isn't it? I mean, a ball has to be, if a ball's flat, you know, everyone's played in a game where they just take it to the ref and go, God, we can't play on with this. What you're suggesting is so minute that, you know, the players wouldn't notice.
The good players will notice, but they'll get used to it quickly. You know, it's not that big of a deal. And it takes 20 to 25% off the peak force, which is a huge amount when you look at the defenders heading those goal kicks back.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, so how did you sort of test for this? I mean, what sort of process did you go through as an experiment to see the difference that it made with the balls having slightly less pressure in them?
Yeah, we started off. We've been studying this for 10 years in American football and our soccer players here, and we saw that the thing that got us into this was just the fact that we were looking at women's soccer. And I kind of chauvinistically thought that those head impacts would be much less than American football. And it turns out they were the same distribution, same range, same peak values. So we started looking at the ball, and essentially we set up a very elegant set of sensors. And then we had some former soccer players for, you know, high school and college soccer players just kick the sin out of the ball right into the sensors. And, you know, we tracked the speed as it went in. We had measured the pressure, the diameter. We even had one of these, what they call size 4.5 balls, just to see what, because we didn't know what the main effect was. And then, so we had to do all these experiments, I think almost 1,000 kicks. And then when we analyzed the data, it all fit perfectly on the predicted curve. It was kind of amazing.
You say the top pros would maybe notice the difference. I mean, have you done any research into how the ball sort of flies, if it moves in the air differently or it affects control at elite level, for example, or not?
That we haven't done with any of the real elite players. There does seem to be a little bit better handle, you know, better touch control. And it's not going to go quite as fast, but, you know, for those of us that appreciate the midfielders, it actually works out pretty well.
Mm. Another part of this was water absorption and the impact that has. Explain how you tested that and what the results were.
We had a big sink and we submerged the balls.
Very technical.
I was going to say.
We had a stopwatch there and it was actually a little tricky just to keep them in the water, you know, but having seen that one's kind of an obvious one. We knew going in that would be a big deal. And it only takes about 10 or 15 minutes for the ball to get in a heavy rain for the ball to get waterlogged to the point where you've added so much mass that if somebody does kick it hard and you're in the way, that's a brutal, brutal hit.
Most people, though, Eric, would be listening to this thinking, well, surely the kind of ultra modern, the state of the art footballs now don't absorb water in the same way the old footballs did, which has been a conversation a lot of people have had. They seem to think this is something that only happened when the balls did retain lots of water in the 50s and 60s, and that doesn't happen now because of the technology involved in the balls. But you say they do retain water.
They do retain water, and it's at least enough water. You know, it isn't the old leather balls that actually, you know, double or triple in mass, but it doesn't actually take that much to turn that ball into a weapon. You know, if you have high pressure and it's waterlogged, then you've just kind of pushed it to the point where it's becoming dangerous.
A lot of people listening to this are keen amateur footballers. And I know, you know, amateur players don't train all the time. They don't head the ball as much. Mm. And the ball may not be moving around quite as fast. But like, would you recommend, you know, amateur footballers to think about how pumped up a ball is? And also, you know, you just leave all the spare footballs by the side of the pitch, you don't stick them in a bag, you know, if it's raining, to like change the ball. Are they good ideas for amateur footballers?
I think letting the little pressure out is great, and I think everybody should be doing that from the 8-year-olds all the way up, and definitely bring extra balls, cover them up, make sure you can throw another one out there every 10 minutes or so. Just you know, from my perspective, there's plenty of soccer balls out there. It's easy enough to do. I'm not, you know, not asking people to change any rules or anything like that. But what we saw, and it did surprise us, was that a few of these little steps and suddenly you've taken 25% in some cases up to 40% of the impact force off the ball. And from what we've found, there's kind of a threshold right around 50 G's. If you can keep those headers under 50 G's, you're not going to do that much damage, right? Your body can keep up with it. Your brain can heal it. But once you start going over 50 G's, you start to accumulate damage that the body just can't repair.
Are any of, you know, professional bodies, FIFA, UEFA, MLS, whoever, listening to you?
We just sent our paper to the Big Ten. So we're kind of starting small, kind of going out from Purdue out to the conference and then seeing what happens. But they're actually worried right now because of COVID, they shifted the soccer season to a winter sport. And at least in Indiana, that means that some of those balls are going to be frozen. And so they're going to be much, much harder even. So we're trying to, you know, we didn't have a big walk-in freezer or anything, so we didn't do that experiment. But freezing the ball is probably even worse than letting it get waterlogged.
Interesting, Eric. Good to talk to you. Thanks, Eric. Wish you well with that. Thanks very much.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
On Bad Cameos, Jamie says, once played at the local Fijian village at rugby on the island we were cohabiting. We were royally thrashed. The highlight was me kicking directly into touch and through the thatched burr, which is a hut roof of the village leader.
Dear me.
That's a great effort, Jamie.
Yeah, we're doing this because poor Robbie Brady last night, a little 25-minute cameo before he was taken off with apparently an injury. But in it, missed the chance, got booked, failed to clear one off the line. It was just, it happens. He had a bit of a mare, didn't he? 25-minute mare. So we're looking for cameos. I once came on as a sub in a parents versus kids match at my brother's Sunday league team. I wasn't even a parent. Anyway, came on with 10 minutes left, scored one goal, scored two own goals, and then two-footed my brother, giving away a penalty, and was then taken off, says Jack the West Ham fan.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This one's really tickled me. Clive says, I came on as a substitute wicketkeeper. Punched on the gloves, as you do, gave the obligatory, come on lads, spread out, call to arms. I dipped behind the stumps and got severe sciatica.
Oh, no.
I couldn't straighten up again. I was led off the field in much the same...
he was taken off in the crouch position. It must have looked like Bielsa on the move.
It's like the same way you walk a chimp. It's a lovely idea.
You like that idea,
really,
do you?
It caught me, yeah.
Because you can see the movement with one leg moving in front of the other. A bit like, that's the indignity, because it's a long way from the middle of a cricket field, isn't it? Back to the old pavilion if you're being walked off like a chimp.
I'm not sure why that's caught me quite that much, but it really has. I've got a couple of hobbies for you, Paul.
Have you really? What things I should try?
Have you ever tried gong bang?
No, I think I'd know. What is it?
It is an online genre, unedited footage of people studying quietly, often for up to 12 hours.
Wow.
Gong bang is the two words from Korean put together of Gongbu and Bangsun, the Korean for study broadcast. But it's spreading across the world, apparently. The popular videos rack up hundreds of thousands of views. Mm. So you can watch somebody studying for up to 12 hours.
I mean, look, there are times I go through Netflix and Prime and can't find anything. I don't think I'm ever going to get to that stage.
So not gongbang. What about salvage hunting? Joe Gray, this is in the Star today.
Yeah.
He rides a sea mine like an 80s space hopper.
Right.
Joe found the mine on a beach and rolled it home. I mean, it's an enormous thing. He had to forced to hand it back to the Navy, which seems like the best place for it. But he just says...
it's been decommissioned, has it? I take it. It's not... I mean, yeah.
It's a terrible way to go with that grin on your face.
It would be, wouldn't it?
On the mine like
I
a space
I used a
hobby.
Bomb as a space... That's the Darwin Award winner, isn't it? I used a bomb as a
Have
space
hopper.
Have
you ever used a bomb as a space hopper?
08717. Congratulations to Mark Robinson. Got the Wimbledon job full-time yesterday. Mm-hmm. Is that an interesting route the world?
Okay.
Of football management. I mean, everybody has their own routes. Some people are top players and they become coaches. Other people end up, you know, like Jose, working with the late, great Bobby Robson, effectively being his kind of right-hand man and translator, working his way into coaching. Mark used to collect royalties for musicians in South London and owned a kids' soft play centre in Ellsfield.
All right.
Not the traditional
route.
No,
I think it isn't.
Although Carlo Ancelotti did have his own soft play area, I think, just outside Milan for a short time. Rhinus Michaels and his crazy cavern for the kids.
Would you like to know the most loved up cities in Britain?
Yeah, in what context?
According to research from a flower delivery company, ranked a score based on the number of marriages, births, searches for date nights, engagement rings and flower deliveries. At one is Bristol. In second place, Reading. And Liverpool had the most searches for engagement rings, and Portsmouth has the most marriages and civil partnerships. They're the Champions League places. Manchester in the Europa League, along with Bournemouth and Newcastle upon Tyne in seventh.
Thanks for bringing us that.
That's okay.
Last night, Mansfield were beaten by Bolton at home.
Yeah, great last 20 minutes, wasn't it?
Did you watch it? How did you manage to watch every game, Max?
No,
you watched the last 20 minutes of that game.
I watched the highlight. I saw the score. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because Cambridge are top of League Two.
Right.
I'm not really sure where most of the teams are in League Two. So I see the result. I think, is that good for us or not good for us?
Yeah.
So I had a little check and then I noticed it. And then it just came on my Twitter feed. I was doom scrolling about all the terrible things in the world. And that was a nice little... It was a little palate cleanser.
The Mansfield manager, Nigel Clough, I think it's fair to say, didn't take the defeat massively well. He was asked after the game what had happened to end their 8-game unbeaten run. He said, we know exactly why we didn't win. They scored a fluke, then a scrappy own goal, which got them back into the game, and they were never in it in the second half. Our second goal was a lovely move and should have been enough to win the game. The biggest disappointment was allowing them a winner. So, nice.
Well, he was going on the Marseille owner's route, wasn't he? Their second goal was so good, it should have been worth more, and then they'd have been fine. But actually, the winner was quite a good hit from outside the box.
Yeah.
Did you tell me about Depop, Paul, a while back? I think you told me about Depop. It's where you can buy...
You can buy things. You can buy... Yeah, we talked about it because Andy Carroll and his missus put a load of...
They did.
...items on Depop to sell. It's kind of expensive gear, isn't it, apparently?
Well, some of it's expensive, but the latest craze is crisps dipped in plastic are being sold as earrings on Depop.
Where'd you find this rot? I thought Andy could only unearth gold like this.
But Andy has passed the Daily Star baton to me. £7. Depop insists there's no smell.
Wow, that's good to know.
There we are.
Well, look, thanks, Max.
Hey, any time. Do you want fly tipping that can be seen from space? Fat seagulls in Bahrain?
Maybe. What a band they were. Tonight's session from Fat Seagulls in Bahrain. And from Manchester. No, you're not. I'm not saying that. I'm not going to finish that bit. So, where were we? We're going to talk to Adam Jamili in a few moments' time. We look forward to doing that. Just before we do, the vagaries of iFollow. I know you're on iFollow quite a lot.
Yeah, I'm watching Cambridge every week in, week out.
Bumble was watching Accrington last night, and he tweeted it out. Very off-putting. Anybody else got two commentators talking at once on iFollow? And Nick, who was obviously watching the same game, said, I've got the Stanley visual, but the commentary of Blackburn versus Barnsley.
The best
How
we
confusing
had.
Confusing
must that be? The best we had was Stevenage away, I think. For the first 20 minutes, we just had some lad doing drive time on BBC BBC Three Counties. He was just saying, and here's Genesis. And then you just had 5 minutes
of invisible touch
of Phil Collins while
great,
the game was.
It?
Actually, it was slightly better. What I have noticed from iFollow is there's a lot of local commentators. And, you know, some of them are very good, some of them not, you know, there's a wide variety of them. But for so many years, no one's been able to see what they're commentating on. So it doesn't matter if they make any mistakes.
Yeah.
And now they say, well, that was a definite foul there. And you're like, you didn't touch him. Yeah. He's just seeing so many. That wasn't enough. And they say, well, they've been really on.
So they're taking a local radio commentary.
Yeah, they're obviously so biased. So it was one game. I think Salford did hammer Cambridge in the end. But the first sort of 10 minutes, they were like, oh, they're all over them. I was like, no, they're not. I mean, no one. The game hasn't settled. But this is ridiculous.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, Max, did you realise that 12.5 million people say they've experienced a lockdown light bulb saving moment in the savings moment, not saving a light bulb. That'd be weird. Savings moment, moments with their savings in the last year. Those, of course, who've kept their jobs, and you know, not everybody has, sadly, but those that have.
Do you want me to say I didn't know, or do you want me to say I did know because I had the same piece of paper that you were given?
You can be non-committal.
Okay, fine.
Because you're not here to stand that up.
No, I'm not.
But thankfully, someone who is, initially anyway, is Team GB Sprinter. Don't try and say it all as one word. Adam Jamili. Good afternoon, Adam.
How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you. Yeah, we got there in the end. So 12.5 million people have had a light bulb savings moment. I mean, obviously, they can't spend it on anything, Adam. I suppose that's what it's all about.
Well, yeah, I think Nationwide has just done done some fantastic research. And actually, you're just seeing how many people with the pandemic and everything that's going on, if you're able to save anything, how important that is, because like you said, there's a lot of people that aren't working or making the same sort of income. For me, it's been so important that we didn't have an Olympics last year. I was able to save and actually invest in a little home gym, which meant I could keep training during this whole lockdown situation. And it's just so important. And yeah. I think, that starts with the young generation leading the way. And the statistics that they came out with, like, I think people have saved over $1,000 since March, since the first lockdown. Which is just ridiculous. So it's awesome.
You mentioned you've got your home gym there. I saw one 800 meter runner who's having to train on the top of a multi story car park by the by the Olympic Park. So you're all set up in your house, are you? I mean, presumably you've got to spend some time sprinting somewhere, Adam, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. But especially during the first lockdown last year, was by any means necessary. You're just running on it. There was literally no tracks open. There was no, right now, I think there are tracks open. You can go and train as a sports person, but that's literally it. You go to the track, you do your training, you come home. Before, it was on people were sprinting on the road. I was running in the park. I was running literally up and down my driveway. I was doing what you can to find a way to make it work. But yeah, like I said, because I've been pretty smart and invested into a gym with my money, I was very fortunate to do that. And it does mean that I was able to keep training throughout lockdown and stay in shape and not get fat. Because for me, the day I stopped doing sport is the day I put on quite a few kilos.
Are you not naturally sort of lithe and skinny, Adam? You say there's sort of a fat man itching to get out of you.
Yeah, I think so. I'm genetically not meant to be lean and skinny, for sure. So my metabolism, I need to find it somewhere for sure. But it means I can run fast how I can. So there's no complaints from me.
Are you one of those athletes, Adam, that thinks this extra year might have done you a favour? Or were you feeling so good in 2020? Would you have liked the Olympics then?
I was ready for it last year, being honest with you. I think I had to make my peace with having to not have that opportunity to compete. And it's been so long since Rio. It feels like a lifetime ago. But I'm ready now. I think every athlete, when they mentally sort of, that was probably the hardest thing, mentally coming to terms with not having the Olympic Games. And now that we sort of know it's going to be happening, mentally focus, set your goals and really, get on it and ready to go and represent Team GB. Like, we're not there to fill lanes. We're not there to just be like, make the Americans and Jamaicans, especially in the sprints, look good. We're there to win medals and challenge the best. So, I can't wait for the challenge, really.
How much kind of contact are you having with the sort of hierarchy of Team GB at the moment? Because there are still concerns about the Olympics and how it's going to work, whether it'll be in front of crowds, whether they go ahead at all. I mean, some people are
being honest with you, a lot of contact. They've been great. The BOA have been excellent, actually, in communicating with the athletes. We had a massive Team GB meeting, basically. So everyone on the long list gets invited to a call, and they basically just said the Japanese... Right now, it's unless something crazy happens, it's definitely happening. So get ready for it. Obviously, it's not going to be the same sort of Olympics that we're used to. There's not going to be the same amount of crowd. It's probably only going to be in-house to Japanese supporters, but that's okay. As long as I can step on the track and compete, then there's no issues for me.
It's going to be different. And you know, you hear lots of stories about the sort of wild party side of the Olympic Village. You know, as soon as your event is finished, you're like, here we go. You know, sort of it's like the summer of love. It's like Woodstock, isn't it? But it's not going to be like that this time. Does that make it any different? Or do you think athletes are they're so single-minded and so focused, that's just part of the deal and you just get in, do your event and then go home?
Yeah, I think, honestly... for me, maybe as a young athlete, when you first go to an Olympics, when I went to London, I was 18 years old in 2012. You're just like, wow, what is happening about? Like, athletes, I think, are so strict throughout the whole sort of 4-year period. Then when they finish competing, definitely some of them lose their head. Some of the stories, which I'm not going to say on radio right now, but there were some crazy things that I did witness. But now I'm a bit older. It's more just about the performance for me. And yeah, I know in Tokyo. You're not going to have that time to stay in the village. I think once you finish competing, it's straight off out and straight off home. So it will be a different experience. But for me, that's what I focus on. It's my performance and winning and bringing back a medal for the team.
Beyond the running, you've been keeping your profile up. Here we are talking about the work you've been doing nationwide. You were on Question of Sport recently. We've got a little moment from it here. This is Sue Barker, of course, on the BBC with the question.
Other than GB, name the 5 European countries to win a track medal at the Rio Olympics.
I don't know, I'm just thinking France probably. I'm trying to think who won the men's. Lemaitre. Did he not get bronze?
I was in the race. France, what am I doing? I was in the race.
I'm sorry to bring back that painful memory for you, but yes.
I was in the race.
They just run you out of a medal, but you blocked it out. Clearly, it was too painful to
honestly,
bring up
again. I can't believe I forgot that. I must have blanked it out so much in my memories I forgot the guy that frigging beat me to the medal by 0.003 of a second. He was the answer to the question. But that was quite funny.
Yeah. Do you, I think the first time we ever spoke to you, Adam, was when you were playing non-league football and you're on that sort of cusp of becoming a full-time athlete and you were just about to do it. You were at Chelsea for a long time. Are Chelsea your Premier League team?
I played at Chelsea for, I was really lucky to be at the club for as a youngster. I spent 8 good years at the club. They developed me. But no, I'm a Liverpool fan.
Ah.
So my dad was a Liverpool fan. I was brought up a Liverpool fan, as you can tell, obviously, by the accent. I was always on the cusp, but I'd always dabbled in athletics. And then, now I really made that change in 2012 full time to start training. And it's just been, I just picked up really quickly and got really fortunate to make that Olympic team in London, and it's hard to go back to football. But I'd always planned to. If athletics didn't work out that year, I was always like, right, we can find another club and build back up again. But yeah, luckily for me, I was able to run fast. And
I imagine you're like a sort of Kyle Walker, like fullback. I mean, what was your position?
Yeah, I was a fullback. Honestly, I was, and it was, people used to joke. I used to clip it line and run it on myself, and then get back and defend. And I was always the last man. And I know a lot of people, like in my old club, if speaking to them, they're always like, oh, yeah, maybe you're too quick for football. I think at the club, I went on loan to Thurrock, and I think they used to joke with me and say, oh, we have to lock the gate, otherwise you're going to run all the way onto the M25. Like it was.
Didn't they say Usain Bolt tried out in Australia, and they said he had a first touch like a trampoline, didn't he? Were you slightly better than that, Adam?
I've got a better touch. Okay. I know for sure I've got a better first touch than Usain, for sure. But he always dreamed. That's the first thing he said to me when I was coming into the sport event. What are you doing? I want to be a footballer. Why are you here? Go play football. Go live the dream. So, no, but he loves football. And for me, something I've always loved as well.
So if I said, look, I'm offering you Olympic gold, or you'd be in that Champions League winners medal for Liverpool, which would you take?
Don't do that to me.
I just have. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to be such a pressure question.
I think right now, definitely For the amount of sacrifice I've made, I think Olympic gold would be. I'd take that.
Yeah,
sure.
That's well, enough. Excellent. Well, we wish you well. Good luck with the training.
Cheers,
and good luck in Tokyo.
Cheers,
good
mate.
To talk to you, Adam. Thanks
Thank
very much.
You.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's birthday spread time. 10 birthdays set by Andy Jacobs. A gag attached to each. Jeff Peters will keep score. You can play along at home. The winner will be the one with the lowest margin of error once we've tried to guess the 10 birthdays of the people, famous, infamous, not particularly well known, that Andy's going to bring us. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon. I've been watching the IPL auction. I can't believe I've gone unsold.
Yeah, I know. You've still got a chance. I'm sure
you. You take the pace off the ball, your little dibbly dobblers do quite well
in the second round. Jeff Peters is our official scorer. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon from the birthday spread nerve centre.
Yeah. Will you be broadcasting from the nerve centre later? For are you going to be keeping us updated with Slavia Prague Leicester? I'd like to hear that hubbub in the background.
I'll be moving to a different studio.
Oh,
for
okay.
That.
Of course. Fair enough.
Matt says, "I'm slightly disappointed. Max didn't receive a one match ban. I did. I had a Tuesday ban. I didn't do the show because of the birthday spread after last week's debacle. At least we get the joy of him crying out in angst when Paul utters the words, 'I think he's a bit older than that.' Yes.
Well, look. Here we go. Then play along at home,
Lady Agnes." Doily, and it's, oh God, here we go. Right.
Guess these people's birthdays and see if it can beat us. Here we go. Andy, take it away. Pele, here
okay,
it is.
First birthday. Lady Agnes Doily. No, it isn't really. It is, in fact, John McEnroe.
Oh, wow.
John McEnroe, the tennis player, not the plumber, of course. And John asked me about getting a job on American satellite radio. I said to him, "You cannot be serious."
Oh, that's nice. Oh, good start. Very solid start through the covers.
Oh, and sound effects as well.
You cannot be serious.
Yeah. Okay.
Perhaps you should have waited till Max's guess for that.
Max,
one.
Do you want to go first? Loser goes first.
Sure. 68.
I would have thought he was a tiny bit younger than that, but not much.
Oh, so,
no, not that much. He's not 22, is he? Don't me panic. 63, Andy. What is he?
He's 62.
Guys, just come on. We go again next week.
He's a broken man already. Keep the faith. You sound like a Tottenham fan. Too early. Too
worse
early.
Than me and Chelsea, that
yeah,
is.
Yeah. So, okay. What's the score, Jeff?
So Paul is one out. Max is six out. So it's one play six.
Okay. Come on then. Here we
okay.
go.
Okay. Very happy birthday to the songwriter, actor and musician, John Tams. John
wow.
Tams. And his family used to come to our local pool when I was giving swimming lessons. They were always late. And I'd ask my colleague where they were, and he said, "The Tams, they are a-changing."
God.
That's too much production now.
I've got to be honest.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, this is a toughie because John Tams could be anything from 25 to about 103,
man,
couldn't
this
he?
This could be mind games this, here, Paul.
No,
I bet
I'm,
you know
I'm
Bob on.
You know who he is.
You're barbecues with John Tams,
I haven't
don't
got
you?
A clue John Tams is. I'm going to just play safe and go 63. I say play safe. What do you think? This is a big moment for you. You could go 24, you could go 96
huge
and effectively
moment.
Win the game at this point. Just play it around at the back for the next 5 minutes.
69.
Okay, you bottled it.
Oh, not bad, not really. 72.
Oh, okay. But okay, fair enough. Maybe
I
you made
bottled
the right
it.
Call. Well, you could.
I just thought of the name. I worked
okay,
it out.
Fair enough. All right, then. What's the score?
So Paul is
nine
out.
It's getting.
Max is three out. Paul is on 10. Max is on 9.
Oh,
game on.
Okay, it's kind of worked for you. Here we go.
It's very,
then.
Very edgy.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Ice-T, the rapper, better known as Tracy Marrow. That's his real name, Tracy Marrow. And when Tracy dies, it's amazing. This. He's arranged for his body to go to a taxidermist. I'm really looking forward to seeing a stuffed marrow.
Okay.
Ice-T is... Ice-T is...
Keep it light.
52.
Well, yeah, he's not really going to do that, is
he? No, he's not going to do that. I'd say he's in that envelope. He's probably about 54.
He's 63.
Oh, wow. Blimey. What about
that's
that?
Been quite close.
He's wearing well, isn't he?
He is wearing well.
Yeah. So what's that down to the scores?
So, Max, did you say 52?
Yes.
So you are 11 out. That takes you to 20. Paul said 54. He's 9 out. That takes him to 19. There's...
Can we go, Jeff? You ain't got one job.
And, just
shoes and socks off.
What
is it? I'm worried about that commentary later, 11, really.
It's pretty close. Carry on. Next.
Keep going. Keep going.
You can't do that.
I think I'm winning by one.
I think you are.
Well, yeah, it's 1920.
Yes. Okay, 1920. All right, here okay, you go. Yeah.
It's happy birthday to The Weeknd, the singer-songwriter, The Weeknd. And he hasn't had his hair done since the first lockdown. So it's a gift. I've arranged for a barber to go around and cut his hair in the garden. It really felt good to get something for The Weeknd.
Very good. There we are. The Weeknd. What is he? He can only be about sort of... Was he late 30s, 39, The Weeknd? What are you going for, Max?
I didn't know The Weeknd was just one person, so there we are. I think The Weeknd is 37.
Yeah, you could be right, Max.
This is exciting. He's 31.
Oh, is he really? Sorry, Weeknd. Sorry, Jeff. I obviously added a couple of weekdays in there as well. So that's not good, is it? Okay, so what's the score?
What did you say, Paul? I said 31.
I'm one ahead now.
I said 37, didn't I?
Yeah, and I said...
No, Max said 37.
Oh, okay. You said 39, I said 37.
37, okay. Go on.
Okay,
then.
So it's 27 to Paul, 26 to Max.
You're the scorer, Jeff.
I'm getting confused because I'm... Anyway, carry on.
What are you trying to do?
He's trying to fire all these sound effects off. Yeah, he's made too big a production of it, and he's forgot the reason why he's here.
Is that desperate? We can make Jeff head of sound effects. We can get a new score.
We'll have to get
in
a new score
week.
In. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's what we need, another voice on this.
Yeah, it's not messy enough as it is. Okay, keep going, Andy, quick.
Jane, a very happy birthday to the actress Jane Seymour.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And she's just opened a shop selling skimpy see-through underwear with Nicky Butt.
Oh, yeah. Jane Seymour, the actress. What are you going to go with?
Beautiful. I don't know the answer.
Go on, Max. Go on, Max. Go for it, mate.
86.
I think she's a bit younger than that. She's a bit younger than
that. Jane.
If you're listening.
Oh, dear.
Jane was in a Bond film, Live and Let Die, and she was also probably younger than that, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
She's probably about 95.
No, she's not. I mean, she's probably late 60s, though. She's got to be about, 69, Andy? What is she?
Oh, very good, Paul. She's 70.
70, okay. So what's
Jane
down to the
Seymour?
Down to the scores.
So Paul is one out. Max is 16 out, so it's Paul 28, Max 42.
And, how is that, 5 or 6? So far?
5.
5, okay, keep going, Andy, quick, the moose
halfway
awaits.
Through, okay, oh, well, I'll take my time then. It's Matt Groening, of course, famous developer of The Simpsons, Groening. He's developing a new cartoon series based on the family of the former Spurs Newcastle and Orient player, Paul Stimpson, but he's not sure what to call it.
Oh, I see, yeah, very good. Good. See what I mean? That's why he can't keep score. That's what's going wrong. That and the Slavia Prague bench. He's been researching. I'd say...
I'm not sure that joke was worth any sound effects, to be honest.
No, okay, I'd say... Oh, he's getting nasty now. He thinks the game's gone. There's nothing in it.
He can start picking on me.
Matt Groening is 60... Clickety-click 66, Andy. What do you think?
I think 63.
67.
Oh, okay. What's that down to the scores, Andy?
Nothing good. Jeff,
well, it's Paul 29, Max 46.
Okay, keep going.
Come on, heads on. Nothing.
Happy birthday to the great comedy actor Ian Lavender.
Oh, tremendous.
Ian Lavender. And we went fishing together, actually. He had the oddest tactics for this particular specimen. He tried to insert the hook into the rear of the fish. I had to say to him, they don't like it up and pike.
Oh, that's good.
Very good. Okay. I'm going to let Jeff stop the sound effects so he can listen to the score.
The production. Values though. Jim Steinman's on the controls.
72.
72. You're 72. Going Ian Lavender.
Oh, I think he's a bit older than that.
I don't think he is a lot older than that. 74. I'm going 74.
It is close. He's 75.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're playing brilliantly. I've got to say that.
I could still lose. There's nothing in this game. What is it, Jeff?
Paul, you are one out for the fourth time in this game. Okay. Max is 3 out, and there's 19 between you. It's 30 place 49.
Okay, here we go.
Jeremy says, why do I bother rooting for you, Matt? 86, why do I bother rooting for you?
Keep going, Andy.
Kevin, I thought McEnroe was going to be a low for you, Max, and then Seymour came up.
Anyway. Yes.
Anyway. It's Dame Angela Eagle. Dame Angela Eagle, it's her birthday today. And I arranged for her to go water skiing on a river near Edinburgh. Yeah, I had an eagle on the 4th.
Oh, yeah. Hey, nice.
Very good. Oh, an eagle pun.
Angela Eagle, 63, I'm going to go. What do you think?
I don't know who it is.
Don't give up, Max.
No, I'm not giving up. No, this could be a great moment. I think Eagle is 67.
60.
Oh, okay. I'm just with every score edging away.
Chipping away.
I look like Messi, forlorn. I shouldn't compare myself to Messi in the birthday spread, really, should I?
What's the score?
Paul is 3 out, Max is 7 out. Paul moves on to 33, Max 56.
56. There's still time.
Need a humdinger. Okay, told that Andy's told me that the 10th birthday will be someone we won't know, apparently. Great. It could be a great leveller. Okay.
Maria Eagle.
Maria Eagles. It's Chris Eagle's birthday is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And she and Dame Angela got together with me and my cousin for a date where everything went wrong. As I said to the Eagles, it was just one of those nights.
There we are. Nice. It's got one for every birthday.
Is there any information on Maria?
What does she do, Maria Eagle?
Do we know anything about Maria Eagle?
She's an MP. She's a Labour MP, okay. Maria Eagle.
She is.
Is it you first, yeah?
I think so.
You go on then.
Maria Eagle is 48.
That's pretty good going. 52.
Funnily enough, she's the sister, I didn't realise this till I did it, of Angela Eagle, so she's 60.
Oh, it's my twin sister. Oh, great.
That would have helped.
Yeah, never mind.
So Max is 12 out. Yeah. Paul, what did you say? What was your score?
I can't remember. I was two different to Max, wasn't I? Does that ring a bell?
I think you said 46, did you?
I mean, Jeff, what are you hearing?
I know it's great to have the sound effects and all that, but if it actually throws you off, I think I was too different from Max.
I can't remember what I said now.
It's two apart.
46, so you're 14 out.
Max is tell us if
12 out, so 47 plays 68.
Is this the last one, Andy?
Yes, it is.
Go on, here we go.
It's a very happy birthday. The Chief Pharmaceutical Officer of NHS Improvement, Keith Ridge. Ridge. And Keith's party trick, it's great actually, was to hover above a contaminated pond without falling in. Yes, it was Ridge over troubled water.
Of course it was.
How many away am I, Jeff, please?
There is 21 between you.
21.
Well,
okay.
He could be anything.
He could be any. I haven't got a
he's
clue.
He's 14, isn't he?
Yeah, he's Doogie Howser. I'm going to go 61. What are you going to do? So that gives you sort of 39 or 80 something.
Gamesmanship.
No, it's not. It's not. He could be 80. He could be long retired. He could be a boy genius.
82.
He's 59.
It's all over.
Great performance.
What was the final score?
Paul is 2 out. Max is 23 out. Yeah. So Paul on 49. Max on 91. Seven wins in a row.
That was just a very solid batting performance. Nothing special. The odd boundary.
Well.
But just generally playing within myself.
Jane Seymour let me down. She's let me down before. She'll let me down again.
It was
again.
A workout. But anyway, thank you, Jeff. We'll hear from you later. Slavia Prague, Leicester. Regular update.
Hope you follow the score better in that game.
I'm doing sound effects during that game.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers, Jeff. Andy, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
The Hawks. Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
So there we are. That was this afternoon show. Max, you're back with me on Tuesday, aren't
you? Back Tuesday. Birthday spread next Thursday. We go again.
But you're back Saturday and Sunday, of course, as well.
Absolutely, yes.
Brilliant. Okay, Andy's back with me tomorrow. If you can listen, great, from 1. If not, podcasts will be available at around 5.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.